T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Town tomorrow night.
I love this song.
The line on my tickets fell through. I don't have tickets at the moment. Nope.
Where are they? It's not Sprint.
Sprint.
Yeah, it's Sprint.
They're opening for Hall & Oates. Train, one of the greatest bands of the modern era, is your artist of the day. Man, everybody turns into a meteorologist when storms start moving in, don't they?
You should have seen everybody out at the window. It's bubbling. It's by sea rotation. It's bubbling.
From the text line, clouds are starting to swirl in Raytown. Everybody becomes the old Katie Horner and Brian Busby when this stuff happens.
Just checking the AccuView weather window.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite nice.
Well, what's funny
the
is...
the AccuView weather window.
They were actually going to the window out there. And
it was Kirk Chestnut and
Dan
Weinbaum.
Weinbaum was out there. He's like, but you never really get to see them bubble. What was the word he was using? It wasn't bubble.
I think I see protrusion.
It's like, what are you talking about? He goes, see that? I go, no, I see clouds, Dan. I don't even see rain.
Everybody's out the window just staring at the clouds and Weinbaum there.
Well, and like no one's ever seen a thunderstorm before in the summer in Kansas
Professional
City.
Meteorologist Dan Weinbaum. AMS certified. Oh, my God. So what's going on with the weather?
We got a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings.
Okay.
Until 2:30, 2:45.
Ain't nothing like the rain that came down on Tuesday night right before the show.
Well, those weren't severe, so yeah, it is.
What do you mean they weren't severe?
They weren't severe.
It wasn't severe. It was just...
rainy.
Wow, did it rain.
Okay.
And we need the rain. It's fine.
Yes, we desperately need the rain. The drought is getting worse.
Now look at those things that'll pop up over there by Clinton and Warrensburg.
Mm. All right. We have to talk about something other than weather.
Oh, we have to talk about the keyword to cash.
Yes.
Which is hold, H-O-L-D, hold. Text that into 72881. Message and data rates may apply.
If you have not seen it, I want you to Google right now.
Okay.
The statue of Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
It's magical.
I love Jeff Goldblum.
The guy from Independence Day?
And the guy from Jurassic
the guy
Park.
From Jurassic Park. Oh,
yes,
my God. He's bare chest.
Yes, he is.
What is he doing?
It is the scene from Jurassic Park where he's lounging.
It looks like Fabio.
It's so funny. It's 25 feet long.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's right on the river in London. And it's magical.
Listen to this story from USA Today. They were so preoccupied with whether or not they could... they didn't stop to think if they should build a 25-foot replica of Jeff Goldblum. Londoners and tourists were puzzled to find the gigantic statue of Goldblum, his shirt unbuttoned, staring seductively at them from the banks of the river near the town bridge. This is awesome,
isn't it?
It actually kind of looks just like him. Remember that scene in the movie? That's the scene. He's in a chair. Mm-hmm. He's lounging.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking
it's
about.
It's to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park.
You know he's in the new one, too. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
It's very good.
It's so good.
It's only on display, though, the statue is, until the end of the month.
Well, I
so
think
if you want to go see it, you got to go to London right
I
now.
I think it should roam around the world.
It's fantastic.
I think we should get it here.
I think
they should get it in Hollywood. I think you should be able to rent it and put it in someone's front lawn.
You know what I didn't look for to see if he actually responded to the statue?
Oh, I bet he did. Are you kidding me?
That would be...
why is there golf on TV in here?
Tiger is driving right now. Hello.
Duh. Obviously.
Do they not have sprinklers at this golf course? Why is the grass so dead?
They are probably in Arizona-ish. I don't know.
And Arizona doesn't have a sprinkler?
I don't know. I don't know. know where it is.
How about you water your grass?
You know, people are wanting that comeback. They just are. And so anytime he's on, it's on. I mean, no. Jamie and Wicked don't even follow golf, and it was on in here.
You could. America loves two things: tearing someone down and building them back up again.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger Woods was torn to the ground by his own fault.
And by injury. I mean, by injury.
Well, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking
yes.
about the
yes.
sex addiction. What?
Why'd you say it that way?
Because I think it's fake. But
if you follow Now TV on Twitter, and I'm asking you to do that, the meme reactions to that statue are hilarious. It's all of the cutaways in Jurassic Park when someone first sees a dinosaur. So you see the Jeff Goldblum statue, and then you just see like, like these horrified faces in response. It's hilarious.
Apparently, it's the British Open.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's one of the majors. So he has to win one. I'm very excited.
Why?
I don't know. I just love seeing him. Yeah, I really do.
It's the first round. It's Thursday, right? That doesn't count.
All right. You can lose it all on the first day. Trust me.
All right. Go see the new Jurassic Park movie.
Yes,
it's
want to.
Very good.
Take your baby. He'll love it.
I don't think I'm going
to
do that.
When's your date night?
On Friday. We're going to the concert.
Tomorrow? You're going to Hall & Oates and Train?
Yeah.
Oh.
So excited. And by the way, Paul was like, tell Scott and Rod that I'm totally going to that concert because he loves Hall & Oates.
Oh, he does now?
Yes.
Is he not a Train fan?
He doesn't care about Train, but Hall & Oates, that's what he wants to go see. So he's like, we're going.
You say he doesn't care about Train, one of the greatest bands of the modern era?
He does not care about Train. But he loves Hall & Oates.
Huh?
He loves Hall & Oates.
Okay, well, I hope you have a wonderful time. Are you going to dinner first?
I don't think so.
Make that man take you to dinner.
You realize I work until 6, and then the concert's at 7, so there's not a lot of time to get dinner.
Sounds like there's an hour.
Yeah, and I still have to change
clothes. When
was
the last time the two of you went on a nice, romantic dinner?
That's a good question.
Mm. Dana likes babies. She'll babysit.
Oh, I would totally take that baby for an hour.
An hour?
Two.
See, my mother-in-law's actually coming up to babysit, so we'll be good.
Well, have a good time.
Thank you.
I hope it's fun. Jurassic Park is not good? Ooh.
What? Get off my text line.
There's two texts like that.
Get out of here.
Two of them.
Oh, my God. I laughed and I cried and I went, oh, my God, he's going to get eaten. Like, I was into it.
The new one?
Oh, when that dinosaur comes into that little girl's room, which is in the trailer, by the way. Everyone who's seen the trailer has seen that scene. And it's like going, you know, they make those.
What is it? What does a dinosaur sound like?
They make those weird noises. Ah! She's pulling the covers up over her head, and you're like, yep, she's about to get cut in half.
He killed a kid?
Somebody wants to know if the last time you guys had a romantic dinner was the night you got pregnant.
No dinner involved there.
You know?
Fun fact.
Okie dokie. The Brady Bunch house is up for sale.
Saw that.
Did you see that?
Okay, we have to talk about this investment. Now, just listen.
The original owners bought this house.
Wait, guess, Scott, in 1973,
I think.
So that would have been after the show, right?
Yes, the show aired in the 60s.
So, but not a lot after the show.
No, not a lot after the show.
And it's on a huge lot in...
California.
In
Los Angeles.
It's in L.A. It's on a big lot. And they just filmed the exterior opening shot there. That's it. The actual, you know, show was filmed in a studio.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1970s, after the heyday of that show, they paid, what do you want to guess, even for California prices?
After the show, so it's already a famous house.
It's already a famous house. It was 1973. The show had just wrapped.
$130,000.
Nope. About half that.
Really?
$61,000 in 1973. So this family raises their kid there. It's the ugliest house you've ever seen, by the way. Like, that house is ugly. $61,000. Guess what they're selling it for today? It is the greatest investment in the history of the housing market.
$1.8 million.
Why?
Because it's the Brady Bunch house.
The house is ugly as sin. However, it's on a huge acreage lot, which in L.A., you don't get.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably subdivide that thing and put six houses on it.
And it still has, like, the gold-flowered wallpaper inside and the intercom system with the gold knobs and the whole works.
All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls.
It is not big.
No.
Of a man named Brady.
Now, you got to remember, they raised six kids in that house.
Big kids.
They were farming.
Guess how many bedrooms it has?
Five.
Because you had to raise six kids.
Yeah, five.
Now, you remember, I think the boys all bunked together, right?
Well, yeah.
And so the girls bunked together in their room.
So three bedrooms.
Well, you had the live-in maid.
She didn't get her own room.
It's a two-bedroom house.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yes, it is. It's a two-bedroom, three-bath house. Yes.
They have more bathrooms than bedrooms?
2,400 square feet, but they only have two bedrooms and three bathrooms.
Is there a basement?
2,400. No, it's in California. 2,400. Oh, here comes Captain
Encyclopedia. But see, aren't you buying it to knock it down? I hate to say that, and I know it's iconic, but no one wants to live in that house. It's orange.
By the way, the show ran from 69 to 74. So when it was sold, it was famous.
Wow.
And it was still on TV.
Yes, Dan Weinbaum.
Yes, Dan.
You do realize that that's just the house from the exteriors.
Yes,
we
that.
It's not the stage, the sound stage that they shot the show
just
on.
The exteriors. But it is the Brady Bunch house, like the house Dallas was the exterior.
So kids weren't really raised.
Well, but South Fork Ranch was still worth a ton of money.
I'm just saying.
I know.
The show was shot on a sound stage.
Yes, if you were listening to this show, you would have heard us mention that.
I was tracking the weather.
Oh, are the clouds swirling yet?
Are they bubbling?
Billowing and swirling.
Oh, it was billowing.
That was
there is this wild looking hail coming out of Lone Jack. It's got jagged edges and there's all kinds of stuff happening out there. So, yeah. There you go.
We're good.
Get out.
Okay.
Get out. Go billow.
You know you're not actually going to see Barbara Billingsley when you go in there.
By the way, they've extended the severe thunderstorm warning for Cass and Jackson County until 3 o'clock now.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Rob Babcock, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks. Your keyword to cash this hour is hold. Text that into 72881. Okay.
Really quick. Barbara Billingsley was on Leave It to Beaver. Florence Henderson died and was the mother on the Brady Bunch. I'm sorry I mixed them up. They're both women whose image I despise. All of those 50s, I've got your drink in one hand and my apron in the other. They all run together like me. I'm sorry. In my mind, I'm like, which one's which?
Why do you hate Mrs. Brady?
I didn't hate Mrs. Brady, although she was having relations with her son on that show, which is a little weird, but I digress.
Why do you hate June Cleaver?
You know why I hate June Cleaver. Well, Dad, how come when you grill, you're outside and Mom's always in the kitchen? Well, son, that's just the way it is.
Whenever we cook inside, Mom always says it cooking. But whenever we cook outside, you always do it. How come?
Well, it's sort of traditional, I guess. You know, they say a woman's place is in the home, and I suppose as long as she's in the home, she might as well be in the kitchen.
Oh.
Oh, that is terrible.
That explains about Mom.
Let's go back and review again.
No, let's not go back and review.
Well, it's sort of traditional, I guess. They say a woman's place is in the home, and I suppose as long as she's in the home, she might as well be in the kitchen.
Oh. Well, that explains about Mom. But how come you always do the outside cooking?
Well, I'll tell you, son. Women do all right when they have all the modern conveniences. But us men are better at this rugged type of outdoor cooking. Sort of a throwback to caveman days. Hand me those asbestos gloves, will you, Molly?
Wouldn't it all be nice to have a penis?
So funny. I guess a woman's place is in the home. And if she's in the home, she might as well be in the kitchen. You don't ever watch Leave It to Beaver and just enjoy it?
No, not even once have I ever thought, God, I wish I could go back and be that. No. Oh, my gosh.
Not one time.
No, not even once. Do you know my mother worked every single day I can remember my whole life?
In the home?
No, she was at Blue Cross and Blue Shield for like 37 years.
She had a paying job?
Love that job. Yes. And I think I turned out just fine.
Hmm.
Well,
verdict's still out on that one, I think.
Okay, speaking of childhood, because we've talked about this before on the show, but this is my favorite story of the day, and I printed it. I don't know if you have it or not. There is a story out after a study was released this week about your earliest childhood memory. And if you asked anyone to sit down and write out a list of five or six of your earliest childhood memories, I can remember a couple of things. Austin and I are 4 years apart. I remember my dad coming to get me in the middle of the night to say, the baby's coming. I remember that very clearly. I remember being at a Royals game when I was maybe three or four. I don't know that I have any memory prior to that.
Okay.
This new study says most, if not all, of your earliest memories are fake.
Well, how would they know?
We've talked about this. A memory isn't really a memory because every single time you think about that thing in your childhood, you are slightly changing that experience. By thinking about it and remembering it and talking about it every time you've done that in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you are reshaping the actual event even slightly in some way. And I don't think that's necessarily true for large traumatic events. If you were in a horrifying car wreck at age five, if you watched the death of your mother, things like that, you likely remember. But just the everyday stuff, going to the babysitters, maybe your first couple of weeks of school. This study confirms that as we get older and you go back and retrieve those things, you shift what those things were. And so over time, it's like playing a game of operator where I tell you something and you tell Rod something and Rod tells Kara, Kara tells Travis. And when it gets to the end of Travis, it's not the true original experience.
But how would they know if it's fictional? Unless they interviewed your parents or an older sibling or something.
Right.
But then maybe their memory isn't as good as yours.
So researchers have conducted one of the largest surveys of people's first memories, finding that nearly 40% of people had a first memory, which is fictional. Current research indicates your earliest memories date from, guess what age, Scott?
Five.
Three and a half. About 3.5 years of age. However, researchers at the University of London found that 38.6% of a survey of almost 7,000 people claimed to have memories from two or younger, with 893 people claiming memories from one or younger. And that was particularly prevalent among middle-aged and older adults. If you think you remember something from age one and two, you likely do not.
5767798. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Kara Marxer. Whiskey River, take my mind.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let a memory torture me. Whiskey River, don't run dry.
Old Willie.
I fire all I got.
5767798. Your next keyword to cash coming your way at 3 o'clock, right before we do the 3 o'clock news.
So you were asking, how did researchers figure out that your first memory, if it's around age one or two, likely did not happen? And then I have another question for everyone listening. Researchers asked participants to detail their first memory along with the age and time. In particular, they were told you cannot recall this memory from a photograph or video that you have seen. It has to truly exist in your mind as it happened, you know, 42 years ago. The researchers examined the content, language, nature, and descriptive detail of the respondents' earliest memory descriptions, and from those evaluated the likely reasons why people claim memories from an age that research indicates cannot be formed. Cannot. As many of these memories dated before the age of two and younger, the authors suggest that these fictional memories are based on remembered fragments of early experience, such as family relationships, feeling sad, some facts or knowledge about your infancy or childhood, which you may have derived from photographs or family conversations. As a result, what a rememberer has in their mind is a mental representation consisting of fragments of different things, not the actual memory.
You know, and I have a very early memory, whether it's true or not, I don't know, of when I lived in Amarillo, Texas.
Okay.
But here's the question I have, and I don't know if they got into this in the study. How do we choose, and certainly there has to be some sort of subconscious way that we do it, what we remember and what we don't? For example, I can barely remember certain things, and this probably had more to do with alcohol than anything else, but certain things from high school. You know, like Heidelberg High School, I don't remember hardly anything from there. I can tell you within reason where I sat at either Sandstone, Kemper Arena, Sprint Center, or Starlight for any concert you tell me. I can tell you.
That's because
I can tell you where I was sitting. I could say I was sitting right over
you
there.
You do have a photographic memory with certain bizarre things like concerts.
I can
tell you. But that's also as you're older. You are older when you formed that memory and the pathway to get there and to retrieve that.
But I can hear a song on the radio, for example, that I haven't heard in 20 years, and I still know every single word. But if you tell me, Scott, name one of your teachers from eighth grade, I couldn't do it.
See, I can do that. I remember my feelings in kindergarten and first grade more than I remember experiences. I remember being afraid. I remember not wanting to go. I remember not wanting to be left by my mother. But I remember those feelings more than I remember experiences. One of my questions I have about this study, and gosh, I wish we could have like a researcher into the brain come onto this program, is that why, if research shows we cannot form or retrieve memories around age one or two. Okay, let's just take that as fact. You really cannot hold true memories between age one and two. If that is true,
I think it is.
Why do very young children who are victims of trauma at age two and under, abandonment, look at the orphanages, say, in Chernobyl or China, where those children are never picked up and held, and they have developmental severe problems their entire lives because of that? Why is that the case?
Because
if we
can't
have memories at one and two, wouldn't you just forget or not have a pathway back to remember the trauma?
Dana, I think you do have, and I use this in air quotes, memories when you're 3 years old.
You're saying you have them, you just can't retrieve them?
Take later in life is what I'm saying, yes. Take Kara's one-year-old son, Charlie, as an example, okay? She brought him in a couple of weeks ago. We're sitting here in this very room, and she hands Charlie to me. And Charlie's sitting on my lap, and I'm like, hello, young man, gaga goo goo, gaga goo goo. And he instinctively looks over at his mother and puts his hands out like he wants to go back to
Kara. They know mother and father.
That's my point. Charlie may be 1 year old, or 1 year old, but he still remembers who his mother is. Now, in 10 years from now, if you say to Charlie, do you remember that time when your mom brought you to the radio station and you sat on Scott's lap and he was going, go, go, goo, goo, he would say, first of all, I don't know who Scott Parks is.
Okay.
And no, I don't remember that at all.
Let me ask you
that
this.
That's not a memory, but he does know who his mother
if
is.
If we were able to formulate memories to retain and recall from 18 months, 2 years old, all of that, baby Jessica remembers nothing about being in that well.
Correct.
Nothing. And don't you
think... Yet that was a trauma.
You would be able to recall when they got you out, being down there when they were singing nursery rhymes to her, being abandoned in a dark place. She doesn't remember a thing about that.
Why can I remember my phone number from Lansing, Kansas?
233-9243.
727-3040.
My first number in my home in Topeka in the first house we lived in.
I can remember our address in Fort Hood, Texas.
But you created a pathway in your mind for that, Scott, by repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. We didn't have the internet or cell phone, so your parents said you have to memorize those things in case you get lost.
I can remember my phone number from when I was in sixth grade. I have no idea what Sarah's phone number is, my own daughter.
Because you have not created that pathway in your memory, nor have I.
Let's go to the phones. Barbie in Independence. Barbie, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
You were talking about memories.
Yes.
And I can remember my very first memory. I was 2 years old, and my dad was coming home from the service from Germany, and him coming up the walk in his uniform and holding his bag, you know, over his shoulder. And I was running to him. I had a little yellow dress on. I didn't know it was yellow at the time, but it had a little yellow dress on. And he held his arms out and picked me up and whirled me around. And I knew that he, you know,
now,
he was home.
Now, Barbie, let me ask you this. According to this research, there is a 40% chance that never happened.
Sure, it did.
No. According to this research, there's a 40% chance you've created that in your own mind.
Do you have a photograph of it, Barbie, or something else that would remind you of that experience? No, it just lives in your mind.
It lives in my mind, but I lived with my grandmother until he got home from the service. It's the first time he ever saw me when he came home from Germany when I was born. And I've always been reminded of that the first time I ever saw him and how happy
he was. How were you reminded of it? Did he tell you about it?
Sure. You know, as I, you know, got older, then my next memory wasn't until I was almost four. And that was when my little brother was born.
Is your father still with us or not?
Yes.
He is. Yeah. Ask him, do us a favor, and then email us later or text us or whatever. I'm assuming he is still lucid and he's doing really well.
Oh, yeah. He talks about it, too.
Oh, he confirms that this story is accurate.
Oh, yeah, because he was very happy that I was the first person that he saw when he actually came home, because my grandmother let me run down the walk to see him, and he picked me up and... You know, twirled me around. And I actually remember that. And I think it was because they had always showed me pictures of him in his uniform. And I knew who he was.
All right. Hey, Barbie.
So when I saw him, I knew he was my daddy.
Okay, sure. Hey, Barbie, thank you for the call. I have a feeling
Barbie's going to call her dad today and say, can you help me recall whether this was a true memory? And he's going to say, Barbie, have you been drinking?
Well, I'll tell you this.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I will tell you this. There have been times, my mom listens to the show from time to time, where I will tell a story from years gone by, and I'll get home later at night, and my mom will call me and say, that's not how it happened. It's close, but it's not how it happened. So to your point, or at least to the researcher's point, I think there is some truth that the more we even if we retell ourselves the memory.
Yes, it changes. You change the original event.
Now, who's to say who gets it right? Maybe my mother has retold herself that same story and made it more positive for her. Do you see what I'm saying? And when we rewrite the story in our minds,
it changes.
Do we always make it more positive for us?
If it's trauma, I don't think so. Maybe you make it scarier.
It worse?
Mm-hmm.
576-7798, your next keyword to cash coming your way right before the 3 o'clock news.
talking about memory, and the song is I Remember You.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Remember yesterday? No, you don't.
Dana doesn't even remember what we talked about the hour prior. Every day as we're getting ready to do the podcast, what did we just talk about?
Oh, I'll take that from anybody but you. He looks at me every day and goes, why don't you write this down? I think it was local. That's what I get from this one.
Let's go to the phones. Tom and Grandview. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Doing well,
welcome,
man.
Well, first, I just wanted to pass off to you. It just started raining here in Grandview.
Hey, thank you for that. There's a little storm over my house right now, too.
And Kara and Dan just came in and said, wait till 4 o'clock because it's about to get bad.
Well, I have to be on the road at 4:30. But anyway, what I wanted to get to, I'm 75 years old. And when we're talking about earliest memories, my earliest memory is me being in the hospital. I can't say exactly what my age was. I don't remember. It's either 1 or 2, but I remember standing in the crib, looking over, I don't know if it was the footboard or the headboard, but I don't remember what I was staring at. And the next thing, and of course, I found out later what it was, but the next thing I remember was after I left the hospital, after a short period of time, the room was dark and black for quite some time when I was home and I was wearing gloves. And what it turns out is I was in the hospital for a double hernia, and I got chicken pox while I was in.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What? He said he's got a scar.
I think there was a word prior to that.
No?
Okay. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Okay. Sorry about that, Tom. Somebody over here is having some problems.
I thought I heard the S word in there.
That wouldn't even make sense as an adjective before scar.
S, I have a scar.
Oh, I see.
How do you know it's true? S, I have a scar.
Oh, no.
That's what I thought I heard.
That's okay.
If he didn't say it, then I apologize.
Someone just said, have you looked out west on radar? Yeah, you'll get results. It's
not
big.
Good?
Manhattan and Emporia is covered in angry red and lightning.
The red blobs are coming?
The big red blobs.
Are the orange ones coming with them?
Yep.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, looky there. Green blobs don't impress me, but the red ones do. Look at that. Oh.
What's your earliest memory, Kara?
Going to Branson with my parents and getting a lollipop that was the size of my head.
Like a big one.
Yeah.
I remember when I got herpes simplex 1.
I remember. What? And Kara, this goes back to whether you really had this experience or if over the years you've added to it. And I can tell you, I'm certain over the years I've added to it. I was at a Royals game, a very rare treat because we were so poor. I was at a Royals game with my mom and dad. I don't even know that my brother was born yet. And I so clearly remember being terrified because I looked under my seat and I thought I saw an alligator hanging from the bottom of my seat. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I so clearly remember it staring at me and then trying to tell someone. And I remember crying and screaming and like it was looking at me. And I know that that's so stupid,
alligator. But
I can remember it looking at me. Like it wasn't real big. It was about this big. And years later, my dad was like, well, maybe it was like a newt or something, but at Royal Stadium, like,
right.
I don't feel like that's something that...
It's probably not accurate.
That would have been accurate.
Yeah.
But over the years, I would recall it, and I can still see what it looked like, but I don't think it probably happened. I just think somewhere I got wires crossed, and I thought there was an alligator staring at me from under my seat at Royal Stadium.
I wonder what it really was.
I do, too.
That's fascinating.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it was an iguana.
Maybe. It was that little guy on the you know, the alligator that's on the shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was that.
Like someone left their eyes on.
Right.
I don't know. But it scared me. And I so here's what's funny. I retained the fear, but I don't think it's a true memory.
Yeah, probably not. You probably did not actually see an alligator.
Does your fear of spiders come from something that you can remember?
Not that I remember. It's really just gotten worse over the years, too.
Well, I probably haven't helped with the tweets and stuff.
No, you
like
have
the one
not.
Yesterday,
okay. Did you see?
Which I'm
on
no
Facebook,
longer responding to.
Kara, there's a guy. Do you know what a chip? You know, a chip clip looks like. And some of them have magnets on them. You clip your chip shut. He has a chip clip, and on that there is fishing wire. And at the end of the fishing wire, there is this huge fake black hairy spider. But big, like think like basketball sized. So he clips the chip clip to a woman's purse or a guy's briefcase and goes, oh, my God, a spider. And then they start running. And that big hairy thing trails after them.
Oh, my God.
It is the funniest thing you have ever seen. I'm sorry. They fall down. They're screaming. It's so funny. I'm sorry. I wouldn't do it to you, but it's so funny.
A friend of mine in college did that with one of those little fake cockroaches.
Oh, that's not funny.
Oh, that was bad.
That's not funny.
I almost had like a full-out panic attack.
I would poop in my pants. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. Mm-hmm.
Keyword to cash.
Keyword to cash is parent, P-A-R-E-N-T. Text that into 72881. And you're in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash. Message and data rates may apply. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, but this just cleared on Twitter. Apparently, Trump is inviting Vladimir Putin to the White House this fall. That just cleared.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.